All righty. Welcome, everyone. This is the City of Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Commission. Our regular meeting is beginning May 19th, 2022, at 6 o'clock here at the Veterans Memorial Building. We're live in the Veterans Memorial Building for the first time in a while, which is pretty exciting. We have four members on our committee, and everyone is here, so looks like we have a quorum. So we're all ready to go there. So welcome. I'm calling the meeting to order. Would you please join me in a moment of silence? Next item now would be the Pledge of Allegiance. Melissa, would you like to lead us in a Pledge of Allegiance?
I will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you.
Stand. Please stand and place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. Announcements. Do we have any announcements today?
Well, I just want to make a couple general announcements. I want to thank the city maintenance staff and their crews. They've been doing a really great job on the parks. I've had a lot of positive comments from my friends and neighbors. We had the car show here just a week ago, so I wanted to thank the Morro Bay Police Department and their volunteers, the Morro Bay Rotary and the Knights of Columbus and all the folks that helped out. It looked like a very, very successful car show. It looked like we had a really bunch of really nice people, and everybody looked like they had a great time. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Okay. Any announcements from the city, Morro Bay?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to go ahead and start off, and then and I'll send it on down the line for other announcements. First to begin, let me back up. No, I won't back up. I'm going to go right ahead. We to echo what you had said, Commissioner Sedaris, the car show was a fantastic success. I was down there for a couple of days, and haven't seen the town so crowded in quite some time. That took place over May 5 through 9. Also, the Kite Festival was back in town, and that took place over April 30th and May 1st. Another successful event. Pretty cool to see those big kites out there. And I want to back up and say, that's what I was going to say just a second ago, but it's nice to be back in live and in person.
Yeah.
This is kind of weird. I don't feel right. I don't know, but we are playing masks. So, anyways, nice to see everybody face to face. And let's see here. Oh, and along with these events comes quite an active rental program that we have here with city facilities and open space. Very busy with rentals right now, indoor and outdoor. We've got film permits. We've got these special events coming through. We've just quite a bit of activity, and it's keeping our office rather busy. And Charlie Lowe takes care of our permitting here in the office, and I know she's very busy with this stuff. So it's exciting to see everybody back live and in person. I did want to mention two quick things. We've got a departure of two of our staff members that just are taking place this month. We're losing Cadence Guy, and she is one of our sports coordinators, moving on to bigger and better things. A young lady found herself a full-time 40-hour-a-week job, and along with packing college into that. So she was a great asset for us, and we will miss her. And we do have a recruitment out right now to fill her position. As of today, I just found out our office coordinator, Delilah Martinez, will be moving on as well. She also found a full-time job and has been with us off and on over these last 2+ years. We picked her up right before COVID and then had to lay her off, and back and forth we went, but she was a fantastic asset to our office, brought in a great spirit and a great community liaison. So we will be missing her as well, and I did put out a job announcement for that today as well. Real quickly, Community Foundation of Estero Bay. I haven't reported on this for quite some time. We went through, of course, a low time during COVID where we didn't receive really much funding because we had to cease our activities. So to report out fiscal year 2021, we received $8,001 from the Community Foundation of Estero Bay, and that's for youth sports, kids clubs, swim lessons, junior lifeguards, things like that. And that was no funding in the first quarter of that fiscal year. And then followed by this fiscal year, 21-22, we've received $38,106. And that'll take us through June of this year. So they just funded the programs that we put together for this spring and then partially for summertime. So, again, that's a kids club, youth sports, junior lifeguards, swim lessons.
Is that for scholarships for kids to attend those programs, or does that money go to help the park department put the programs on?
Okay, good question. And yes, I'm sorry, that is for scholarships for those who cannot afford our programs. So those dollars do come in to our office to complete the registration fee. So it's typically a 50% scholarship that's offered by the foundation through application process. $38,000 is on the higher end of what they on average would fund us. Roughly anywhere from $15,000 to $25,000 is normal. But again, I think they had a bunch of money, you know, saved up from the COVID time, so they were able to fund quite a bit. So it was really great to have them back in action. That is what I had for announcements, and I'd like to go ahead and turn this over to Angelica Claro.
Oh,
I have aquatics. Oh, was I going to say aquatics? Okay. No, go right ahead if we have a slide up so I know what I'm going to talk about. Real quickly, this is our hopefully proposed. Okay. Wonderful. So current aquatics program is taking us through the end of this month and just a first week or so into June with our regular programming that we've offered throughout the non-summertime. And that would be lap swim, aqua aerobics, master's swim. Oh, what else do we do out there? Private swim lessons, semi-private and private swim lessons. The next slide will show you our proposed summer program, and the basic changes will be adding additional lap swim on Friday mornings, along with a change from the majority of our swim lesson offerings moving from semi-private and private to group lessons. Our challenge with the swimming pool is staffing. Majority of our staff are 15, 16-year-old high school students, which limits their ability to provide or to work with us during the week and then provide swim lessons. So that's why we're real limited on our swim lessons and non-summer hours. And those are the limitations that really only give us Sundays for these the young people to provide these swim lessons. So during the summertime, it opens up their schedules, and we're able to then move into a bigger program, which includes group swim lessons. So that's what we've got going on there, and thank you for catching me on that one. And I'll once again pass this one on to Angelica Gallardo, our recreation supervisor for youth services.
Good evening, commissioners. I'm going to start with special events. Our best special event, I think, it's my favorite, is the Mermaid, Sea Creature, and Pirate Parade that happens this Saturday. at the on the Harbor Walk. We meet closest to the rock. You come dressed up as your best mermaid, pirate, kraken, whatever you want to be, and we do the walk on the Harbor Walk, and then with the support of Tognazini's, Mark and I collaborate, and we have a little celebration, is what we call it out there. Mark provides, and Dockside too, provides lunch for all of the participants. We give little goodie bags for them, and it's fun. We had to put a halt on it too for the last 2 years. We are excited to bring it back. So this Saturday, if you have nothing going on, put your best costume on and show up. Okay, and then another special event that we're working on that I'm deep in red, white, and blue. I'm working on our 4th of July planning. We get to bring back our 4th of July event this year, and it does have a lot of planning. It's an all-day event, as you know, out at Tidelands Park. We'll have some bands, a kids' show, kid carnival, food vendors, beer and wine vendors. We will have the bike parade this year as well. We will not be having the skateboard race Jack is out of town that day. But we are very excited to bring it back. I am hammering out all the details as we speak, and we'll have some publicity on that soon. So, and then I'm going to move on to youth services. We are also very busy with youth services. We have 3 more weeks of the school year, and then we wrap it up. And now I'm also with my coordinator. We're working on kids camp. This year we are able to bring our full kids camp activities back. We have registration open, and currently we have 80-plus people on our registration list, like families who are interested in this. This year, Delmar Elementary is offering summer school on campus. So we are collaborating with the school district to offer before and after school care for them. So we'll have our summer camp program as well as a before and after school summer school program. We are also excited to get to go travel again. We get to get on that trolley, go to the pool. We've got a couple big trips we're taking. We're going to Santa Barbara Zoo this year. We're going to the Ravine. We're really, really excited. We're having a movie showing at the Morro Bay Theater, going to the beaches. I joked that summer camp is like the bucket list, summer bucket list, and you'll get to check all those off. So we are very, very excited. We are wrapping up our interviews. Staffing is always hard, especially lately. We are so fortunate. We've had so many applicants for our summer camp. I think we're going to have 4 directors, about 14 counselors, and about 12 counselors in training, which are high schoolers who are learning the ropes. So we're really excited. We just, like I said, finalized. I think we might have done the last few today. And the last thing I've got going on is community classes. And I have a new class that we have just started yesterday. It's called Open Floor. It's a movement, meditation, and dance class. Wednesdays from 6:30 to 8 p.m. It's something different. We haven't tried this. Usually our dance classes are a little more aerobic, and this is more of like centering, getting yourself, relaxed a little. But our instructor, her name's Shelley Kilcoyne. She's really awesome. Really dedicated to this, and we're excited to bring her on and see what she can do with other classes, especially with our senior center. This has been nice. And then those are our normal community classes. We have Zumba, our freestyle, Pilates, our 2 karate classes. So our classes are very busy right now, so it's nice to see that. And I think that's all I have going on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Angelica. And I neglected to mention the purpose of our Hawaiian shirts, as Mr. Chairman, you had pointed out when we first walked in. It's not just because we're feeling the aloha spirit, but I guess we are. But the young lady that's leaving our office, Cadence Guy, she is Hawaiian. So we had a Hawaiian luau today. So, as a send off. So that's why we decided to go with the shirts and then just leave them on for the meeting. So, Thanks for noticing. So thank you, Angelica. And then with that, I'd like to pass this on over to Ken Zink. He is our recreation supervisor of sports. And Ken is coming in through Zoom. He's at home with his newborn baby and wife. And it's easier for him to do that from home as opposed to being here. So we thought we'd give this a try. So, Ken, are you there?
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, very good.
We can see you, too.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, everybody missed out on a ukulele performance by our fearless leader, Kirk. So hopefully someone will be able to share a video of that at some point. yeah, thanks for the opportunity to be here. What is going on with the sports division is we have just wrapped up our recreational softball season on Saturday, May 7th. The teams got to participate in an end-of-the-season tournament. Morro Bay hosted the 8-and-under portion of the tournament, so some of the other teams got to go and play in the end-of-the-season tournaments at other places in the county. With the culmination of the season, we formed one 10-and-under all-star team out of our two recreational teams. So they have continued on in the season and, you know, shifted their efforts to more of a competitive program, and they will start playing in tournaments pretty soon here at the start of June. They'll play in some local tournaments. The first one, I believe, is in SLO on like the June 3rd weekend. And then for us coming up, we actually host one of the All-Star tournaments. And so we will have our Coast Summer Slam All-Star tournament on the June 18th, 19th weekend. Which happens to be Father's Day weekend, so great way for fathers to spend with their daughters out there playing in an all-star tournament. We've had a lot of interest for that and are even going to need a second location other than just the Lila Kaiser Field, so we're excited for that. Something else that's going on at the Morro Bay Skate Park, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but we have one of the quarter pipes needed replacement, so we worked with the American Ramp Company and ordered a replacement quarter pipe that'll be basically the same dimensions. And, you know, we're also granted funding to add another obstacle. So they have a series of pro-op obstacles that we picked out, a coffin obstacle that will be added to the park. So I think it'll generate a good amount of interest for local skaters and bikers and scooters, and should be a great feature for the Morro Bay Skate Park. So I'm very excited about that. That'll generate a lot of interest and should be interesting. We are underway on our co-ed softball program. Began on 4/11, and so we will terminate the season with semifinals on June 6th and finally end with the championship on June 13th. So yeah, we have co-ed softball going on right now. Finally back. We just ended our flag football registration on May 13th. So we are taking this week to organize the teams. We're using the NFL flag football program. So, the teams will be wearing the same kind of uniforms that the pros do. So, that's exciting. We have about three divisions with four teams each, and we'll be playing games on Friday night under the lights at Lila Kaiser. So that should be exciting, little Friday Night Lights flag football in Morro Bay. We're going to start soccer signups soon. And with that, this is signups for the fall recreational season. With that, we are exploring the possibility of a futsal season, which would be played indoors and would kind of lead into the fall rec season. And so futsal is something that, you know, has been done in Morro Bay. Like I said, it's an indoor program where the focus is more on the kids playing, and a lot of the time there's no coach. It's just kind of like a kids organize themselves and get to just go out and play and generate some excitement for the upcoming soccer season. So we're excited about that. And we also have the Rock to Pier run, which is less than 2 months away now. So the countdown is on. Yeah, it'll be on July 16th. So starting to see a lot more signups roll through and generating some marketing and exciting stuff. And We have the Ghost Monster Band coming out and playing, and you know, the Kiwanis will be out there doing the breakfast. So we're very excited about that. So yeah, we have a lot going on.
Thanks, Ken. That's all from staff, Mr. Chairman. I'll pass it on back to you, sir.
Okay. We have a Morro Bay Senior Citizens Liaison Report. Do we have anything from the...
I have nothing new to report. The last time I spoke in regards to the Senior Citizens Brigade, they were interested in restarting the adult softball league that they had been going on, the senior softball, which Kirk mentioned that they need a coordinator. So I think nothing, as far as I'm concerned, nothing has changed or shifted on that.
Okay.
I could throw a couple things in there just real quick regarding seniors. They just had a new TV and surround sound system installed in the lounge. And that that came by way of funding through city grant. And that's just one of the projects that were funded with the grant. The other one we're still in the works on, and that's going to be an interactive TV we've spoken about before. That'll be placed in the lobby of the community center, where it's going to be able to advertise, put our flyers up, or information regarding senior activities and whatnot. So that's part two of that grant. And then just real quickly, we did hold a Kentucky Derby party, which is a lot of fun. And we had maybe 25 people, a small gathering. I think people were still a little hesitant to come out because of COVID, but it was a good time. And we had two categories of winners, best hat or best dressed. And the gentleman who won best dress is a 93-year-old man, a U.S. Navy ship commander. And he looked sharp. When I saw him walk in, I knew he was going to win. So it was pretty cool. And it was a vote by the people. So it was complete with a little bit of bedding and food and mint juleps. So we want to try to expand on that next year because it's pretty fun. And I attended. I brought my mother along with me, and I'm a senior citizen member. So I'd like to really, really blow that thing up and go big and put it in the auditorium and really have a heck of a party next year. So,
did you get to use the new TV and surround sound system?
We did.
All right.
And it worked out great. That's what made me think of it. So, but thank you. That's all I had for the seniors. Thank you, Commissioner Davis.
Okay. We'll move on to the public comment period. Do we have any members of the public? I see nobody here, but online do we have?
Hi, Chair. We currently do not have anyone in the queue.
Okay. We'll move on then. And the next item would be our consent calendar. We have three items here: approval of minutes from the Recreational Parks Commission meeting of March 17th, 2022. A2 is Recreation Service Division status report. And A3 is Recreation Service Division participation reports of March and April. Do I have a motion to receive and file the three items for the consent calendar?
I'll make a motion that we receive and file the three items for the consent calendar.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Our next item here is our business items, C1 to C5. We'll start with C1, the staff report, third quarter update of the Community Foundation of Estero Bay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll go ahead and take that. So I misspoke and went ahead and did a two fiscal year announcement, or excuse me, report during the announcement portion. So my apologies, I was out of turn on that. I was out of line. So third quarter, I don't have the figures with me. I just went ahead and added up the full fiscal year, but I want to say it's maybe right around 8,000 or so. Does that ring a bell to you?
Third quarter of
of this fiscal. Yeah, anyway, so I did the full report during the announcement. So we can go ahead and pass on that one. I don't think you even have to look to receive and file because my error.
Okay.
So we can move on to C2, and I'll take that one too, sir.
All right.
If that's all right with you. So verbal park reports on the park projects. And what I've been doing with regard to park projects is asking for reports from our public works office, who does handle these projects. So what I have are three that they are working on right now. And I'll start with the Franklin Riley Park, and there's improvements taking place there. There was a submission of a grant application at the March 22nd City Council meeting, and this is for the submitted to the Habitat Conservation Fund program. And I don't see that in the report. That is a State Parks and Recreation Department grant opportunity. They intend to apply for $25,000 to $50,000 in funding. It does require a local 50% match, and we have the Historical Society of Morro Bay has offered up $10,000 and $35,000 as potential matching funds. So as we discussed, I think quite some time ago when the park was in its conceptual design, it's a passive park, and it overlooks just right above Tylands Park, basically right in that area. Some of the recommended improvements include installing drought-tolerant native plants, a wider walking path for ADA accessibility, some kind of an art sculpture consisting of rocks or stone commemorating the Nine Sisters, one of which is, of course, our Morro Rock. Low-maintenance benches with a potential for memorial plaques, potential low-impact community gathering place, and then some historical panels, one with a little bit of background on Franklin Riley, one on the Slinen legend of Morro Rock, Falcon and Raven, Serpent and Seven Sisters formation. And I couldn't define what that means for you right now. A bike rack with a plaque commemorating our late city council member, Red Davis. A couple of small signs, interpretive panels, and then replacement stairs connecting to the Embarcadero. So that is in the works right now, and we hope to hear back summer of 22. So that's Franklin Riley.
Did you say replacement stairs?
Yes.
So they would replace the stairs going from Surf Street to Embarcadero?
Some replacement stairs. Surf Street?
Is that not the street
that's
above Embarcadero?
No, this is down at Tylands, that end.
Right, but the street that's like the cross street along where mm-hmm. Franklin Riley Park
is that
Surf Street.
Oh.
And then okay. Olive Street's the one that comes down directly toward the bay.
Okay. Yes.
So those stairs would be repaired, or are those being replaced fully? Is there something wrong with them?
I think replacement pieces. This funding is certainly not enough to do the whole thing.
Yeah, I regularly go down there. I was like, is something wrong with the stairs?
I think it's just, it's just maintenance of the stairway. And that's one of the items included in their list. And thanks for clarification on the street. I didn't think that was Surf Street over there.
This is Surf Street.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, it's not Surf. Yes. It's more.
All right. And then our next project, our bocce court, which has been in the works for quite some time. It is back in the hands, or it has been in the hands, of our public works office under the management of our new city engineer, Eric Riddio. He let me know that he's got new plans and specifications from the engineer that's working on this project on behalf of the city. I got to take a preliminary look, and they made just some minor adjustments. As I think we all recall, we removed the greenhouse element from this project. And in doing so, it opened up some extra space. So we were able to extend the size of the court and move it from a residential size, which was, I think, 10 by 60 feet, and increased it to 13 by 76 feet. And then they also made an adjustment to where there's no separation between the courts. They are really adjacent to one another with just one poured concrete curbing in between the two, so it saves some money there. So that, I don't have any idea yet as to when we'll be breaking ground, but the plans are through, and they'll be going out to bid soon. So I know this started, I think we did a groundbreaking March, right before COVID, March of 2020, and then everything got put on halt. So as far as I know, we will still move forward with volunteer help from local service clubs, and I can't recall the name of the church in Los Osos, but they were spearheading some of the volunteerism. I'm sorry, I can't remember that one, but it'll come to me later on. And then our third and final project that our Public Works office is working on right now is our Coleman Park. And as we've all been in the loop on that, the Recreation Services Division had put forward the initial grant application to state parks for the per capita funding that was able to bring in $177,000 for us. And then since then, the Public Works Office has applied for additional grant funding through the state parks again, and this is the State Recreational Trails Grant Program. They submitted their application with a range of $600,000 to $1 million in grant funding, and if we are awarded, it does require a local match of 12%. This is a competitive grant versus the grant that we had submitted, which was non-competitive. It was the funding was already allocated based on population or city versus county versus district, things like that. So this, again, is competitive. And this is going to help to fund the Coleman Park restroom reconstruction, as well as additional park amenities that we had. We held a public hearing, or two of them actually, out on site, and took a look and had the public offer up their input as far as what they'd like to see out in that area. So total right now, we're able to come up with $318,000, which includes, or as our matching funds, which does include that per capita grant money, as well as some other funding coming from the Castle Winds Community Development Funds, our deferred maintenance funds. We have park and lieu fees as well. So we're able to come up with $318,000 to be able to match whatever the state might offer up for us. And one other thing on Coleman is we are working with, during this conceptual design phase, we're working with the Salinan Tribe and the Filipino Land Monument Group. Out at Coleman, there's a rock with a plaque on it that's been there for quite some time, acknowledging the first landing of people, non-Indigenous people here on the Central Coast. They were Filipino, and it was, I think, in the 1500s. So there is a rock with a commemorative plaque on there, and we're working with this group to better place that and maybe make something a little grander than just a plaque on a rock. And that's it for Coleman Park. And that's what I have as far as park projects are concerned. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. I'll do my best.
Well, my only question is, we contacted the Chumash tribe because they were also in this area, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't also honor and respect them.
The Chumash were actually the tribal people that lived in this area. The Salinian people lived more a little. Well,
there's a debate that they have. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we know the Chumash were here, so like I said, I think if we honor one, we'd be remiss not to honor both.
Yes.
They also have a different creation story about Moro Rock than the Salinian people, too. So
that's so noted. Yeah. So noted, and I certainly will make mention of that to our Public Works Director. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we have a motion to receive and file C2 staff report?
Make a motion to receive and file.
And a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. It passes. Our next order of business here would be item C3, staff report on the holiday hangouts, All Sports Edition 2022.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Helica Gallardo will go ahead and take this. This is her area of expertise, and she submitted the report. And Helica?
Okay. If you remember, we held holiday hangouts during our winter breaks as well. This one was a little different. This is another version of our sports camp, is another term we've used around it. And we held this during spring break of 2022. The difference with this one was I was able to partner with the Community Foundation. They applied for the Morro Bay grant, the City of Morro Bay grant, and then the object was to match that grant, and then they would provide something different for the youth, because that's what their direction is. So after proposals and working with the foundation, we were able to create this camp with their addition. And what they did was they provided funding so that the children who participated all could get gear, so any type of sports equipment. So they were able to get baseball gloves, soccer shin guards, basketball, soccer ball, and a water bottle. We did a camp shirt that said Holiday Hangouts. And then they also provided funding for 2 nutritional snacks. And so what was great was when we partnered and we were coming up with this proposal, the point was, you know, foundation, their goal is to get kids out and playing and playing sports and doing enrichment. But they also fund lower income families. So the issue is that although these families, they're working and they can't get their kids to and from, you know, soccer practice or football, flag football practice, but you know, if we could help by, like, giving them the opportunity to learn these sports and see if they like it, then these families could maybe make it work. We also could provide their practices on site. But then the other issue that comes up is that these families already don't have the money to provide for the registration, and now we're asking them to purchase shin guards and shoes and baseball mitts. So I suggested to this foundation, well, what if you provided that? Then we're saying, not only are we providing a scholarship, you're also, here's the stuff. Now you're learning the game, here's the stuff. They loved that idea. We were able to collaborate. And then it was just nice. It gave us some wiggle room for our activities, which was nice because we did all the planning. We gave them these things. And then along with the snacks, we talked about nutrition and how, you know, heart-healthy foods and being hydrated all the time. So we really tied in, like, all the things that come along with sports. So this was really great. We had, I should find out my exact amounts. We had 35 campers a day. So that's pretty nice. And they learned, we held this camp for 4 days. So they were able to learn soccer. They focused in on flag football, softball/baseball, and basketball. And I mean, it was, as you can see with the funding, it wasn't much. The revenue was high, which we usually spend on staffing because it's important to have, especially when you're doing small groups, learning different sports skills, you do need extra staffing there. But what was great was that the funding, we got about $2,000 from foundation to provide all of those things. So it's great. I hope that we can continue to work with this and provide programs like this, because I feel like it's kind of everything mixed into one. It's childcare, our youth sports, and just support for families who really need this. So, any questions on Holiday Hangout All Sports?
I have a question. Has the city staff thought of even possibly to cut down on future costs of providing gear for kids that might not eventually be playing baseball or soccer or whatever, and they get shin guard, or maybe not shin guards because they get sweaty, but like baseball mitts or bats or, you know, different kind of gear? Would the city be willing to, you know, take those back if they're not going to be used and then provide those for other kids so you're not having to ask for money year over year to buy brand new gear for kids that might only be using it for, you know, 4 days at camp or one season and then they decide they don't want to play the sport at all? And
Definitely. We always do exchange. We have a lot of families who, especially as their children grow out, they'll come and donate their things to us. So every sport, and I feel like I'm taking Ken's thunder, but every sport does have, you know, we have a collection of things. And what's nice is that we were able to buy a little excess stuff, you know, or some children didn't take the shin guards because they were like, I'm not a soccer fan. So we'll have a collection of them that when children are signing up for the programs, we'll be able to offer those. But Foundation also, and I root for them all the time. I love partnering with them. I'd suggest like looking into their programs because they also provide coupons at Dick's Sporting Goods and all these other places where they'll provide this stuff for the kids as well. So we have had a great time partnering with them, but they're very supportive of families who want to get their kids out there. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? No? Okay. Thank you, Angelica.
You're welcome.
Okay, so can we have a motion to receive and file the staff report C3?
I'll make a motion to receive and file staff report C3.
And I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. It's received and filed. Our next item is C4. Staff report for the kids' night out, April 2022.
Okay, this is me again. It'll be quick. As we've talked about this, we provide these events called Kids' Night Out. We recently changed it from Parents' Night Out to Kids' Night Out. I was giving a talk yesterday, and I explained why. And it's because we originally made these for parents to take the night off, leave your kids with us. But now we've heard the children call it their night. It's their night for plans. So we hosted one in April. We're doing every other month right now. So February, and then we'll do April. Our next will be in June. And this time we did a Mad Hatter tea party. It was great. The kids came dressed up. We served them, like hand-served them tea, apple juice, but little sandwiches and fruits and vegetables. We had 27 children. And they got to do an Easter egg hunt because it was the week before Easter. They made hats. I mean, it was really I'm fortunate my staff are very creative with their planning and things. But it was well attended. We loved it. It was right before spring break, so a lot of families like to use it for getting ready for their spring break vacations. And we hope to do another one in June. We are continuously getting parents requesting these events because, you know, again, it's a night off for them. It's a night for their children. So we'll do another one in June, kind of a summer kickoff. We haven't decided on the theme yet. So yeah. Any questions on this one?
What's the age range of kids that attend?
4 to 12. You're welcome.
All right. Should we have a motion to receive and file?
I'll make a motion.
All right. And a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No one's opposing, so I'll receive and file. Next would be C5, the staff report for youth basketball.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're going to go ahead and turn that one over to Ken Zink. He's our recreation supervisor for sports. Ken, it's all yours.
All right, thank you. So, yeah, the start of basketball season, to use terminology from another sport, threw us a little bit of a curveball as the COVID-19 situation was pretty dire, and the guidelines for Slo County advised all indoor sports to be moved outdoors, as well as the San Luis Coastal Unified School District not even allowing rental of their indoor facilities, where typically we would have played in the gyms. We had to kind of figure out what basketball was going to look like in a new setting. So we quickly made plans to shift to an outdoor program, and we were able to secure the facilities at San Luis Coastal and use our park at Del Mar and use the basketball court there. So we operated our basketball season outdoors with two sites, one being Baywood Elementary, which worked out great because our youngest age group uses the 8-foot hoops, and they already had a 8-foot court built in there. So that was ideal for us. And then our other location, like I said, was Del Mar, a combination of the elementary and the park. So we had games going on at the park at the same time as the elementary school, and you know, the families that were lucky enough to have multiple kids playing and happened to have, you know, two games going on at once could use the gate to pop back from the park to the elementary school because they're right next to each other. So yeah, like I said, the youngest age group played at Baywood Elementary, and the kind of feature court was the Del Mar Park court right next to where the pickleball courts are. It was ideal because of the grassy hill that the families and fans could sit on and enjoy the nice weather that we had for the basketball season, and enjoy the middle school basketball age group. So that actually turned out to be maybe a lot better than expected. We didn't end up having to cancel any games and had moderate weather the whole season. So that was very fortunate. We totaled over 250 players. We had 34 teams, grades 2nd through 8th. And our cost recovery exceeded the merit service target, which typically, you know, in the pyramid of the budget, the goal is between 70 to 79%. And so we had 86%. So we did good on that. Just a few things moving forward to the next season that we can do to improve the program would probably be to add first graders into the basketball league. Our division splits are by every 2 grades until you get to the middle school age group where you have 6th graders playing with 8th graders. So once you get to that level, it becomes a big disparity between the age groups. And if we were to start at 1st grade, we would be able to, you know, keep that 2-year split and then keep it going all the way up onto 8th grade where you go, you know, 1st and 2nd, and then all the way up onto 7th through 8th. On top of that, our middle school girls group, we don't have enough teams to just play locally, so they actually have to go play against other teams in Slo County. And so when they go to play against other teams, the other teams are using that 7th and 8th grade kind of age split. And so it would be in line with what the rest of the county is doing, I guess, for all their rec leagues for basketball. We did an end of the season feedback survey for coaches, and the top thing that coaches wanted to see for the next season would be for us to purchase a ball for every child that plays. We typically did, you know, 5 balls for every basketball team, which is typically an 8-player basketball team. It ends up with a lot of basketballs that we end up getting back and having to keep in storage. And we might benefit from, you know, giving each kid a basketball, which would kind of go along with the model that Angelico is doing at the sports camp of, you know, giving kids the gear that they need to play these sports. So we could even think about pricing that into the registration for the families that can't afford it. Yeah, and other than that, there is some confusion about our playing time rules, so we just need to revisit that and clarify age-appropriate playing time rules so that our scorekeepers and coaches are all on the same page. And there's no confusion because you don't want any disgruntled parents or coaches during the basketball games. And it's nice when everyone knows what the rules are. So we'll probably revisit that moving forward to next season. The other thing, if you look at the budget breakdown, we had a lot of coordinators at the games, which, you know, for this season was nice because we were able to ensure, you know, a certain quality and kind of oversight of our referees and training. But, you know, moving forward, we would likely want to spend less money on the coordinator time if we're able to ensure that same quality. We were able to train a lot of younger staff that was referees that, you know, hopefully will be returning for the next season. And so we had a robust staff and hopefully we'll retain a lot of them for our other sports and for basketball for next season. So, you know, overall it was a great basketball season, and we even ended up having the ability to move the end of the season tournament indoors because by that point the regulations had allowed us to do so. And so the fourth and fifth grade division, as well as the middle school division, were able to play their tournament indoors to kind of end the season with a positive note. And, you know, the teams that won all the games got to be crowned champions. And, yeah, we had a good time. So I think that about wraps it up for the basketball report. So does anybody have any questions?
Is there not seventh and eighth grade basketball at the middle school?
So there is. The players in seventh and eighth grade for boys can actually play in both the rec seasons and the middle school season. The boys season ends kind of right as our season is starting. For the girls, it's a little bit unfortunate as to where our rec season falls at the same time as the girls season for middle school. That's typically why we have a lower turnout for middle school girls, because the ones that play for the school team are unable to play rec. So you get the players that are more so focused on, you know, just having fun and aren't as competitive.
And do you guys feel like it's cost effective for you to also provide basketball teams for middle school when the kids could play at middle school?
I do think it is. I mean, if you look at the sheer numbers of how many kids are on a middle school basketball team, you know, you only get, you know, about 10 players. And, you know, when all said and done for our program, we have, you know, I think we had six teams this year. So we're able to reach a larger part of the population. And, you know, we have a lot of middle schoolers, especially boys, that come out and play for fun. And to me, there's a value in that.
I want to make a motion to receive and file C5 as a staff report for Estero Bay Youth Basketball.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I would like to know how the lifeguard situation goes over the summer, because I know it's going to be two more months before we meet again. And so I'd like to kind of see how the summer goes for you guys at the city as far as lifeguards. And then maybe next time we meet, we can have a discussion or brainstorm some ideas on how we can get more people signed up to be lifeguards.
And Commissioner Davis, you'd like to agendize that as a staff report and/slash discussion?
I definitely would, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, you need at least one more commissioner to agree to agendize.
I'll agree to agendize that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Drew.
You're welcome. I just had one question, whether we maybe can see if the two pickleball courts are adequate. I've read in the papers, I mean, San Luis Obispo's added like eight. Most of the town, you know, Paso Robles has added like four recently. I know it's still a really popular and growing sport. We mentioned this before, you know. But, yeah, if we could just ask the seniors run it, right? So we could ask them if they're having any backlogs or if we should start thinking about down the road maybe adding a couple or at least trying to identify a place we might be able to put them if we do need them. It's amazing how many people play it. It really is.
So, do we have another person to?
Yes.
Okay.
Are we agendizing it?
I will second the motion to agendize that, if that's what you're asking.
That's what we're asking. Thank
yes,
you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And if I could clarify then, so we're looking for a staff report that will help. It's more of a discussion?
Yeah, more of a discussion, whether there's a lot of long waiting times. I mean, now that it's coming into summer, so we could look at it this summer, and if it's a lot more people than availability, then maybe we could think about something for next summer. I don't know if we can do temporary courts, but I know if we had a couple more courts, we could have tournaments. I know some people want to have tournaments here. So just a thought, food for thought.
Thank you.
Okay, if there's nothing else, I think we'll adjourn this meeting.
I'll second that motion.
All right. The next regular Recreation and Parks Commission meeting will be 6 p.m. Thursday, July 21st, 2022, held right here.